Blog Talk Radio.
So it must mean that you all, just like myself and a few other people, survived another apocalypse. Isn't that cool? Pat yourself on the back because you are a survivor. You have survived another one. Everybody give yourselves a round of applause.
Hilarious. No, yes, thank you guys for joining us this Sunday for another Black Freethinker show. Our most beloved sister is not with us today because she had to undergo surgery, but we wish her a speedy recovery, and she, too, is a survivor. So, yeah, I just want to put that out there.
Much love to Kim out there.
Yeah, much love to Kim. We love her, and we want her to get well soon. And I'm glad we all made it. I mean, it was such a harrowing, you know, Friday for all of us, wasn't it? I mean,
yep.
So, I mean, I had to dodge fiery brimstone, you know, and it was just rough. I mean, traffic was harder than usual, but that was mostly just everybody was trying to get out of town for Christmas. But, you know, same thing.
Yeah. I just hopped in the car with John Cusack and just, you know, he helped me out with a lot of things, you know.
Yeah, you know what? I probably wouldn't have jumped in that car because his lame jokes got on my nerves that entire movie.
Well, you guys, you had all that trouble because you're sinners. I converted the day before. I'm actually raptured. That's why I'm calling from a different phone. I'm in heaven.
That's hilarious. You're a traitor. You're a traitor over there. That's okay. We'll just be having fun, us sinners down here. You know.
Damn straight. Damn straight. This is going to be another show talking about, you know, the latest apocalypse prediction and whatnot. I'm pretty sure there's going to be many more because, you know, humans are suckers. We love that kind of stuff and whatnot. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be kind of informal. We're just going to have fun chit-chatting about a lot of this stuff and everything.
And also celebrate the festival.
Yeah. Which I didn't even know anything about until I think Kim brought it up. I think it was Kim that brought it up. And then I was reading about it. Apparently there was a Seinfeld episode of it, which I never saw.
Yeah, I think there was. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Seinfeld. Yeah.
The hell was that?
And now it's just harder to watch after, you know, what's his face had that rant, you know, during one of his stand-up performances. But yeah. In any case, I guess maybe we'll start off with like the Mayan prophecy stuff. I don't know about all the rest of you, but I know I have a couple of friends in my on my Facebook particularly, who were of the mind that this was just supposed to be a change, it signified a change in our consciousness and all this other type of stuff. I don't know, I feel pretty much the same. I don't know. Maybe I missed it. What about you guys? You feeling, did you receive your light body, which is ridiculous?
Another one of these failed predictions, I feel a little more snarky. I feel like I'm going to be a little more arrogant because yet another silly thing has been proven to be silly.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just like every other end of the world prediction, there was somebody who is either selling all their shit or making some type of pilgrimage, like in this case in several countries, people were making pilgrimages to these mountains and whatnot to be there for the end of the world and whatnot. And it's like, look, man, I mean, if you survive 10 of them, you're pretty cool. You're all right. Don't worry about
Actually, if I would have been able to afford it this year, I would have liked to have gone on they had a skeptics cruise down around the Yucatan Peninsula and I think it's still going on right now, in celebration of Doomsday. And of course, you know, they weren't believing it. You know, they had like little seminars and whatnot on like Mayan culture and Mayan history, you know, and astronomy and all that type of stuff. So that would have been pretty cool. And I'm sure they had like a really good time at the Doomsday party on Friday. So, you know.
There's a lot of people getting up though, you know. Heard about some great parties that went on this weekend.
Yeah.
It came up in the news. I don't know how long it's been going on, but now there's a guy, they're trying to get an extra 15 minutes of fame. This Mayan calendar is a fame hog. It's trying to get December 24th now. Like, it's not actually ending yet. It came up in the Huff Post. I think it was a German scientist. His name is something Grube. I don't know how to pronounce those names.
Well, hopefully it doesn't, you know, the world doesn't end tomorrow, because that would totally ruin my family's Christmas tradition of sitting up getting drunk on the 24th and opening presents at midnight. So,
that would ruin my tradition of getting drunk in general. That would destroy it.
Well, true.
And we got our first call on the line, and, you know, if you're among the usual suspects, the crew, you know what I'm saying? The inner sanctum, Arena, myself, Alfred, William, Nicole, and everything like that. Chances are, I don't know the prefix. I don't know your number at all. If I lost my phone, we'd all be screwed here, okay? So, you know, just hit the flag. Let us know. Let me know that you're on the line and everything, and I'll buzz you on in. So, 310, talk to us.
This is Nicole.
What's up, homie?
I was about to say, where is my introduction? Where is my introduction? No, I'm playing.
I'm glad you made it and Callie didn't slide into the ocean.
I know, right? I'm like 15 blocks away from the ocean. So. I see you guys are up and alive and well.
Yeah. I survived, you know, it's... What, this is like my fifth one? I'm doing pretty good.
You think we might be amongst the highly favored, even though we're heathens? You think God spared us?
Nah, we talk too much trash.
Yeah.
We talk way too much trash for all of that.
Smart. You know, look at them, their lights are on.
Somebody's breaking up. 804, you're also live.
Oh, how y'all doing? This is Deborah Richmond.
Hi.
Hola. Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing great. Doing great, Liz. Afternoon for me, but.
Oh, yeah, afternoon.
Yeah, it is afternoon for me as well.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
not really.
Okay, great.
No.
I wanted a little bit, you know. A little bit. Thought y'all could send me some.
Well. The topic of the day, you know, is we and I want to myself and Alfred. I mean, William. We all kind of had a similar show about this a couple weeks ago, talking about, you know, in the world apocalypses and stuff like that. And, you know, this whole Mayan calendar thing has been something that's been bugging everybody for the last few years and whatnot. And apparently, you know, from what I read, it was just that they just didn't finish the calendar or something like that. But, you know, because ancient peoples know so much more than people current days, everybody ran with the idea that the world is going to be screwed on December 21st, which, you know, I find it laughable that, you know, hilarious. But, you know, it made for good fodder for the last few years. A lot of jokes went up. and everything, especially in the last few weeks. I saw a lot of good gags going on, especially one related to an Oreo cookie that kind of looks similar to, you know, like a Mayan calendar or a glyph or something like that.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny, though. Like of course, in this hemisphere, it was the 20th, but it was really funny because, like, on the 20th, there were all of these memes that came out about, you know, Cthulhu rises in the towns, you know what I mean? And other places across the world. It was hilarious.
Yeah, I saw like one Godzilla or something like that, too.
Cthulhu. That was awesome.
Wow.
Can you imagine, Cthulhu in, like, the Chesapeake Bay or something? That would be hilarious.
So, you know, it makes me wonder who's going to have the next prediction. Who's going to, I mean, will it be someone in Ireland that comes, you know, the Irish going to get into a drunken mad brawl, which is going to cause some type of nuclear apocalypse and wipe us all out or something? I mean, what do you think is going to be the next apocalypse?
I think it's going to be another Bible prediction.
Yeah.
Like some person is going to come up with some new type of Bible math. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have another tradition. But this is certainly not the last we're ever going to see of this.
Hell no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I wonder why next time
I'm certainly cashing in. I'm going to do something. I got to do something. Because people are just, like, I don't know. It can't be rapture pets because somebody already has that, like, you know, sewed up. But I got to do something.
Maybe convince people that Westboro Baptist is right and find a job, get a job doing that. Maybe they'll come up with the next prediction.
Yeah. Westboro, man, now talk about being batshit and loving it, man.
Talk about batshit crazy, like, things going on. Like, it's very rare that any one of us will find ourselves on the same side with the KKK. Like, that is just ridiculous to me. Like, I never thought I'd come to a day where I would actually agree with the KKK on something.
Tell me about it. It's ridiculous.
You know? And if any of you guys don't know what I'm talking about, the KKK actually was counter-protesting the Westboro Baptist Church, who are protesting the funerals of the victims of the Connecticut shooting, the Newtown shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually joined forces with, like, a biker gang and some other groups, and Anonymous, among others, which I think is crazy and hilarious. But, you know, it's very sad, you know, that somebody would, you know, take a circumstance as tragic as the one in Newtown, and use it for their own publicity, because there's really nothing that ties that to homosexuality or gay marriage or whatever your feelings may be. There's nothing that ties those two things together unless you're just fucking crazy. Period.
Mm-hmm. The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Sometimes. I feel like that'd be a very short friendship.
I said the same thing, though. I'm looking at this, and I'm like, I'd be damned if I just didn't agree with the Imperial Wizard of KKK. By the way, if you're going to make up a title for your crazy organization, the KKK are kicking ass on that. Imperial Wizard? God, I would have loved to call myself the Imperial Wizard.
Supreme Dragon is like another title or something. Supreme Dragon. That sounds so cool. Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't do any better. You couldn't do better unless you went to J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with my sense of humor, I'll probably do it in a few years. Yeah, sure. Imperial Wizard Teresa. Yeah. I'll get a costume for
it. Oh, wow. Oh, God. I'm scared to see what that costume looks like. William looks so... I'm super scared.
Yeah, just as long as I exercise and cut the sleeves off.
Oh, no. Replace that mask with a Bane mask or something like that.
Oh, no. I'm scared. Is that super scary?
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Oh my god, I hated that movie, by the way. And you know there's like there's like all sorts of conspiracy theories out there about Sandy Hook.
Man, yeah.
There's one involving the you know, the Dark Knight Rises and a map that says Sandy Hook on it. Of course, there's only one place in America that's called Sandy Hook, right? There can only be one.
Okay.
You know, there's only one place.
Like, I live in Orange County, so obviously I'm in California, right? Or no, I'm in New Jersey. Oh, I'm in Florida.
Right.
I was looking at that. I'm like, so what you're saying is that Christopher Nolan is clairvoyant and intentionally added these two elements, one, the Batman shooting and this, into his movies for what purpose? You know, and, you know, obviously because I don't believe in conspiracy theories, I'm the one who doesn't know shit. So.
Well, didn't you guys know that, like, Adam Lanza bought his guns from Christian Bale? Like, clearly. No, I'm just kidding.
I heard about him nutting up on the set of, what was it, Terminator, so we know he has some anger issues. So.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything with a gun. He's like crazy. But, yeah, it's just nuts. I can't believe that. I can't believe that these people who believe these things, like, they work 9 to 5. You know what I mean? Like, they probably work across from you in your cubicle. And now, like, the NRA and a lot of these states want these, you know, more states to, you know, grant more conceal and carry, you know, permits. Really? I'm sitting across from this numbskull and you want to give him a gun? Really?
Yeah, and it's not like the same guy that he has road rage and he has a gun now. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yo, and not only that, but he's scared of teenage black boys. So, you know, that's, that's like a whole nother thing. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That puts Mario in trouble with that young looking face. He better beard it up.
I don't know.
But, you know.
But, yeah. Go ahead, Mario.
Yeah. There's one thing that'll convince you that the world is going crazy, you know, is, you know, and I know this kind of is somewhat off the topic of what we were supposed to have been discussing, but. It is a hot button issue and whatnot, and I've been reading up on a lot of it, and I just find it crazy that how much humor I'm seeing coming from other countries about what's going on in America, and everything. There's even a lot of laughter at the fact that there's a possibility that automatic weapons will be banned. So what do they do? Go buy an arsenal of them shits. Sales, from what I was told and from what I read, sales of automatic weapons went up like almost immediately. You know, because
if there ever will be an apocalypse, humankind will bring it on themselves. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about any sort of cosmic, you know what I mean, presence, you know, passing judgment on all of humanity. We've got the power to bring apocalypse right in our hands. And
right.
And we'll do it, too, because we're just that nuts. You know, we're scared of our own shadows. We're scared of each other. We create all sort of irrational reasons for us to do and have these dangerous things. And if anything, it'll be us, you know. And listen to the NRA guy on television this morning. He said, you know, like, he was asked, like, what is your standard? And he was like, well, we should try anything that will keep our children safe. Well, if we're going to try anything that keeps our children safe, okay, maybe I can go along with deciding to put an armed guard in every school. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's the best solution. But maybe I'll go along with that. Say I go along with that. What about getting rid of these magazines that carry 100 rounds? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But notice these mass shooters, for the most part, in our history, in our recent history, have all been people who didn't have military training. And the reason
right.
and the reason that that's important is because these are not people who are sharpshooters. These are people who are using the spray capabilities that these guns were made to have. That it
right.
inflicts maximum damage, and you get the ability to kill people, but you don't have to be really good at aiming and shooting. So this is why they use weapons. This is why
they spray the general area.
Right, and then they get these large clips. And if it hadn't been for the one jamming in Aurora, he probably would have killed more people. But these kids in Connecticut, the coroner said they had no less than 3 bullets in each of them. 3.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, if you're going to really sit up here and tell me that having an armed guard at every school is going to, you know, solve the problem, you know, I mean, what is he carrying? Is he carrying Bushmaster? Is he carrying
right.
a bazooka? Because if he isn't, you know what I mean. What's going to stop someone short of having that? If an armed man with one of these AR-15s comes into your school, what else is going to stop him? He's not going to be dissuaded by a handgun. I mean, these NRA nuts are really trying to convince people that if everybody in that theater had a handgun, then this would have been a different scenario.
Oh, I hated that, man. I'm looking at people say, you know, I'd have did this, we should have did this, and stuff like that. I'm like, the last place I want to be is in a darkened movie theater that's loud. This dude threw a smoke grenade in it, and then runs in shooting, and then I got 5, 6 yokel crazy. I've played enough Black Ops to know what to do in this situation, drawing their weapons, they're shooting. Thing, I mean, so you got a whole bunch of people shooting in an area crowded with people, and everybody's freaking out, and that is your plan. You know what I'm saying?
And
I don't know.
That, but like, and not only that, but people who have guns and are trained with guns and are good shots make mistakes all the time. I don't remember
right.
where this incident happened, but they were just talking about on the news that, you know, these police officers were returning fire and actually hit several civilians. In the process
right.
of trying to hit someone, you know what I mean? So like, let's not
mm-hmm.
pretend that, like, you know, that a good guy with a gun is always the best solution to a bad guy with a gun. You know what I mean? And while it is true that, you know, most criminals are getting their guns illegally, we're still dealing with these situations where we have homegrown terrorists, and I'm sorry, they're terrorists.
That's right.
You know, whether you want to deal with it or not, they're homegrown terrorists.
Right.
They are getting their guns through legal means.
Right.
Or they're getting their guns from people who have them through legal means, who didn't either have them locked up properly or, you know, what have you. But the bottom line is if you make it more difficult for people who, you know, to get guns legally, and you do what you need to do to prevent guns, you know, being traded on the black market, then you reduce guns across the board, which means you reduce gun violence. And let's also bring up the fact that women who are killed and you know, violently with guns typically are killed by men who have them in their homes, who generally
mm-hmm.
are not criminals in the system. But these men are generally involved in domestic violence situations and have guns, and they use them on women when they, you know, when they finally get pushed, I guess, to that brink. You know what I mean? So, and children and all those sorts of things. I mean, let's just think about it. I mean, not saying that I'm against guns completely. I'm not against guns completely. In fact, I want to, this year, buy myself a gun. But am I going to buy an AR-15? Hell no. Because if
Why
I need
not?
To shoot somebody 100, if I need to shoot somebody 100 times, get a magazine and get a weapon that can shoot off 100 rounds in like a minute, I don't know what kind of, I mean, who am I protecting myself from? You know what I mean? I need to concern myself with figuring out who I have enemies with, you know what I mean? That would make me need a weapon like that.
That's
you know
what I was
mean?
Saying. I was reading up on some of these automatic weapons that you can actually buy online, and they'll ship them to your local gun dealer, and you can get it from him and whatnot. And some of these things take 3 paragraphs to explain what it's made of and what it's supposed to do and everything, and how many rounds it can hold and whatnot. And I'm looking at some of this stuff, I'm like, if you need a weapon this powerful with an infrared scope on it, you either live in the wrong area or you are pissing off the wrong people. Because
right.
that is insane.
Well, I mean, and part of it and part of it is that, you know, and this was talked about in the movie Bowling, or the documentary Bowling for Columbine. And, you know, I have problems with Michael Moore in some of his documentaries, but this part of his documentary, it does ring true. We have a history in this country where, you know, we have tried at various times to make it difficult for people of color that have weapons and to obtain weapons, and we use language whenever we're, even on the liberal side, to, you know, to kind of raise, you know, those racial, you know, sorts of thinking in people's head. Like, by when the guy was talking this morning, he kept using criminals and drug dealers. Like, those are the only people in our society who propagate gun violence. You know what I mean? And you know what all that is? All that is just code. I mean, he might as well have just said food stamp, you know, recipients.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the fact of the matter is that in this country we use a lot of racialized language or a lot of racialized imagery to scare people into feeling that they must have these guns and arm themselves. And there are some people who have been arming themselves like this since, you know, the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it has become a part of this gun culture that, you know, that racism is sort of intertwined with. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, but right after Trayvon Martin was killed, there was a company that had made these hoodie-shaped man targets for shooting, and
mm-hmm.
They sold out like hotcakes.
That is just
one example of how racialized our gun culture is. So, you just have to be real about it.
When you see some of the videos from some of the Tea Party rallies before when all Obama was campaigning, these people are coming to these rallies armed. You know, I don't understand why you come to a rally of people who agree with you armed, but you know it's. It seems particularly funny to me, and so.
Well, I don't know why you go to the gas station armed. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I don't know why you as neighborhood watch are walking around armed. You're watching.
Right.
It's not neighborhood shoot. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not neighborhood kill.
So that leads me to, you know, to really agree with you. You know, and something I've said before that. If there is going to be an apocalypse, it's going to be caused by us. You know, humankind is going to find a way to do itself in. You know, during the Cold War, there were several times in which America and Russia almost, you know, hit the wrong button and ended it for everybody. So, you know, I watch a lot of movies, and a lot of movies I like are the post-apocalyptic kind. You know, random question here. Which movie do you think has the most chance of being the closest to being realistic? Now, I know that sounded kind of convoluted, but you get my point.
I want to say Ghostbusters, but that's irresponsible.
I don't know. I guess the premise of that movie, Some of All Fears, that's probably, you know, of what I was saying and how, you know, how our fears are what drive a lot of, you know, these bad decisions that we make, you know. And it's not just on an individual level, but on a governmental level, you know. Organizations make bad decisions all the time. But organizations are made of individuals, you know. So.
I'm going to go with that one, too. That's my vote.
Exactly.
Who is talking?
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
You might want to mute them.
Is that customer service?
All right, now, so we are one of the movies I consider to be probably the most realistic would be Terminator. Now, let's subtract the fact that a superior robot technology that he built sent back a robot assassin to kill the leader of the resistance that they're fighting against, trying to kill his mother, you know what I'm saying, thus preventing the reason why the computer would have sent back the robot assassin in the first place. We'll ignore that, okay? But, you know, technology, you know what I'm saying? Humankind has the ability to build stuff that it probably didn't even really understand how to to mess with in the first place, right? Pisses off, mm-hmm. it shoots missiles off at our enemies, who in turn fire back. You know what I'm saying? So I guess it kind of falls back into the apocalyptic atom bomb scenario that you were talking about, in which, you know, it's highly probable that that's the way we're going to go out, firing missiles off at each other and wiping everybody out. Either that, or I was reading about the blue bonnet, the black plague that struck across Europe, and also I saw I was watching Mankind: The Story of All of Us, which is pretty good, by the way, and seeing how we live close proximity to each other, that, you know, there's so many people on this earth that if there were a plague that struck mankind, it'd be, take no time at all to spread like wildfire and wipe out a good chunk of people, which would leave us in a Book of Eli type situation, okay? And that would suck, because you need Denzel Washington to bring the Bible back to somebody's library or some shit like that. I don't even, whatever.
I hate that movie. That's like, this is possibly the worst movie in the history of movies, except for anything that stars, what's that guy, Pauly Shore?
Yeah. Oh, man, you equated a Denzel Washington movie to Pauly Shore. That's
yes, that was horrible. That was a horrible movie. I would have rather been watching Biodome than watch that Eli shit ever again. That was horrible.
I enjoyed the movie. I just hated the reason.
I hated the fucking movie. It was horrible. It was terrible. Terrible, terrible movie.
What y'all think about The Chip?
The what?
The Chip. Yeah,
the Chip?
Have you heard about The Chip?
No.
Is that a film?
Oh, about the... You know, I know you don't heard about it. It's like it's saying that they plant a chip inside of you.
Oh.
Oh, the chips.
Yeah, I think that, you know, some
of
this.
That's a bunch of bull.
Yeah, when they were trying to indoctrinate me with that religious business, they were talking all that Mark of the Beast stuff, and it's going to be a chip. And for a quick moment, I ironically, it was in 1997, early 97, I saw an ITT Tech ad where they were advertising a chip that you could put in your hand, and then I never saw the ad again, and I thought that was ironic and funny. Other than that, I don't know much about any chips.
I mean, obviously, like, there are some applications that are beneficial for the chip. Like, you know, if you're somebody who has, like, a really, like, horrible medical condition or something that, you know, wouldn't necessarily be apparent to somebody treating you, and you have one of those chips, is obviously something that someone could just scan easily and pull up all your records. That would be beneficial in that case. I mean, and for some, I guess for some security applications or whatever, but, I mean, chipping the entire population of 300 million plus people in the United States, and certainly the 7 billion, you know, people that live on planet Earth, is not necessarily plausible. I don't see how one could do it. I don't even see how one could even monitor all those people. I mean, with all of the information that the NSA, you know, monitors now, they don't have enough people and computers to process and figure out who's who and who's doing what. So it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, honestly.
I don't think.
Yeah, and then people are gonna hack each other's chips, and Jeff is gonna shut Jim's chip off because he's with his ex girlfriend or something. And I guess they had a chip to get wacky.
That's hilarious. No, I mean it's there's a lot of things, there's a lot of factors. Not only that, but like the human body, you know, even with like implants, like say when they have like a patient who needs deep brain stimulation, they usually put an implant into the brain. Well, typically those brains, like those implants, don't last forever because those tips can get corroded. They get covered over with tissue, you know, so all types of things happen. So, you know, they could even get infected. You know what I mean? You can introduce infection with something like that. So it's just something that I just think is highly unlikely, to the point of absurdity, because there's just way too many of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm not for the chips. That's my. I'm with Raina. I'm not chip. At first, I was thinking, I don't know if it has a Wi-Fi signal or something, but nah, no chips.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah,
there are a whole lot of like computer, brain interfaces and like other types of things that people are thinking about. And some of them people talk about in conjunction with the transhumanist movement and all that type of stuff. I mean, most of this stuff though is really science fiction. The application is like, it would be really hard, you know what I mean, to implement a lot of those things, particularly on a large scale, you know?
Yeah. You know, I don't see it ever happening, at least not outside of what you were saying about, you know, someone having a serious medical condition. I don't think it's going to happen just willy-nilly. Let's just start putting chips in people for some nefarious purpose because we're a worldwide evil entity or something like that. You know?
Right. Oh, my God. You know, it's so funny that you say that, Mario, because I was just watching. If you guys have a chance, if you watch, like, YouTube, there's a channel called Red Letter Media or something like that, and they do like these funny analyses of like movies that come out. They have a really funny one on Prometheus, hilarious. But they have one on the Resident Evil series, which is hilarious because if you ever watch Resident Evil, like it's entertaining from an action point of view, but it makes absolutely no sense.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. From like a plot standpoint, they don't develop characters or anything. It's really, I mean, they really might as well have just thrown in scenes from the video games, like, you know what I mean? Because it really was that bad. But the corporation Umbrella, like, their reasons for why they do shit just make absolutely no sense. Like, now the whole world is over. Like, no one's alive, but yet they're still like, oh, yeah, we're going to still sell people these things that they don't need because there's no one alive anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
It's just ridiculous.
It is hilarious, man. It is. Yeah. You know, I only watch those movies purely for entertainment myself. You know, I have a thing for post-apocalyptic movies and everything. And, you know, one of the ones I watched was, one of the ones that took a more realistic approach was The Road. And it is bleak as hell. It
the
is
Road.
Very
is that the one with Viggo Mortensen? Oh,
yeah.
I love that movie. That was really good.
Yeah. Bleak as hell. You know what I'm saying? And I imagine that, you know, when the shit hits the fan and everything goes down, that a lot of this stuff that we see in these movies is going to happen. Now, I understand that, you know, they are movies, but I do think that a lot of this stuff, there is a lot of truth to a lot of this stuff. You know, people forming factions. And surviving by forming bands of people, and there's going to be a lot of scavengers out there. There's going to be a lot of people who are looking to take advantage of people who they consider weaker. There are going to be people who are going to start their own, their own little civilization. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, if we believe that there's a possibility that there could be, I mean, imagine just how you just have no idea how fragile our infrastructure really is. You take out one major industry, you take out one, like oil. Imagine that. When one oil refinery goes down, it boosts up the prices of oil all throughout the country by, you know, almost a dollar or so like that. You know what I'm saying? So if you take out one industry of, like, say, oil or electricity or something like that, you got a serious infrastructure meltdown. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, our society really is very fragile. It's very easy for there to be some type of post-apocalyptic type scenario or whatever that may be. I'm rooting for zombies myself because I want to be the badass black dude with a sword walking around with two zombies on a chain because I can do that shit. You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? You know, when you watch some of these movies, just imagine yourself in that situation. What would you do? You know what I'm saying? Not just with the Mayan civilization situation, but check it. I mean, just think about what would you do? You know what I'm saying? What do you need to know to survive in this world and everything like that? And one of the main things you're going to need to know is we're talking about gun control. You might need to learn how to use a gun.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe you don't need to, you know, keep an arsenal of AR-15s in your basement or shit like that. You know what I'm saying? And that's one reason why I'm not 100% on gun control. I do believe that, I don't believe that, you need to have, war capabilities in your basement. But, knowing how to use a weapon, I do believe, we don't live in a world in which people are nice to each other all the time. You know what I'm saying? There could be somebody breaking in your house at night.
Right.
And if,
more than likely they won't.
Yeah,
I always wanted, though? I used to look at Star Trek. And remember how they used that, what you call it? What kind of gun was it? It wasn't a gun, and it would.
Phaser.
And it would just shoot out this light.
Yeah.
It was a phaser.
A phaser. Yeah. Okay. I've always wanted something like that. I don't know. I think that's neat. You can be standing all the way across the street, and you see them coming, and, they don't have to get close to you. You can just get them right there. Not only that.
Well, a lot of these guns will do the same thing.
Huh?
A lot of these guns will do the same thing.
But the only thing, why I don't like guns is because guns can kill. With that phaser, you can set it just to stop somebody. And that's, I never did like guns.
Well, I mean, it is what it is. But, stun guns can hurt people too. But, it's been shown. Stun guns can kill people too. They can cause heart attack. They can do all types of things. So, stun gun isn't exactly, the best thing either. If you want to talk about, hurting people. But go ahead, Mario.
Somebody said something, and gun control should focus on production, not consumption, distribution. Outlaw the arms manufacturers first, mass death for profit, the very essence of the capitalist system. You know what I'm saying? His next comment, is pissed about something, whatever. But, I agree with that. You got companies that are making these weapons, there is a serious market to have a 100 round weapon. Nobody's making that weapon because just for the hell of it. They're making it. Their gun magazines, in the supermarket, you go to Walmart, and there are gun magazines that show the most dynamic, kill as many motherfuckers as you can weapon right on the front page. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can have this shit,
Yeah.
I mean, you can buy an AR-15 in some of the Walmarts out here.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think in one of those situations like you're talking about, like if we're just like scavengers and maybe just forming small bands of people, to a point of where we're just going village to village, just trying to get all the resources we can. And this is where I would think my pro-suicide mentality would kick in. Like, I would want to have a gun just so I could take myself out of that, because I know there's no heaven or hell to go to anyway. Like, hey, I had some good years, good days, and let's wrap it up. I'm not living like this, man. Nah.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, if it comes to a point where, I probably would want to, say, fuck it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because at that point
in
time, what are you living for?
Yeah, like, I'm not going to front. I'm used to this. I'm very used to job, bills, sandwich, repeat process. I've got that figured out. I put some hobbies in between. I have a good time, made some friends. You take that away, and now I'm running through the woods looking for berries and trying to fight off other tribes of bigger, stronger men. Get out of here. I'm not saying that.
this whole discussion about guns or whatever is pretty infuriating. Because yes, on the one hand you do have to deal with production, right? But on the other hand, you do have to deal with consumption, and you do have to limit consumption. I mean, we limit consumption on a lot of things. You know what I mean? Just because you have a right to have something does not mean that we don't have a right to limit it. There's rights and there's responsibilities. Your right to own a, you know, a gun or a weapon does not supersede my right to safety.
Mm-hmm.
Or the safety of other people. So you have to think about that. There has to be a balance.
Yeah, well, they did that deal with that Second Amendment, bearing your arms and what have you. They did that, when you had, like, a musket, right? You had to pump this thing up with, like, a pipe cleaner, load one shot.
Yeah.
And it was like a
take 5 minutes to load that damn thing or something.
Yeah, now you got heat. Like, basically, dudes got gangster rap albums in their basements with the guns they have. They're
mm-hmm.
ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't need that.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of my favorite things that someone said, I can't remember who said it, but, you have a right to swing your fist. You have a right to swing your fist all day, but your right to swing your fist ends at my face. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And that's how safety works. You know, we have to limit, you know, the risk to other people and their safety.
Mm-hmm.
And if it may be more inconvenient for you to get these things, but it makes other people safer, and ultimately you safer.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, we have another.
Oh, my bad. Another caller.
Yeah.
I was thinking like all the energy that they put toward like just clinging to these guns and these Bibles, all that energy they put toward like. Wouldn't you want to put that energy toward having a society where you're not afraid of members of your own species, to where you think you need all that heat you got packed in your house? Wouldn't you just rather have a guy out there you want to have a beer with and shake his hand than you want to shoot him? Yeah, I'd rather have that society.
All right. We got area code 917 on the line. Won't you talk to us?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey. Calling in from Jersey, and this is a very interesting conversation that you guys are having. And I just wanted to add to it, being from as an outsider looking in, I'm from the Caribbean, I'm from Barbados. And, you know, sometimes I look at everyone here in this country and, you know, everything is supposed to be perfect, it's supposed to be good, it's supposed to be the best place on the planet. And just like the other guy was just saying, why is it that everybody is so afraid of each other? They live in the suburbs, the houses are nice, they're loaded up with guns. There's only one thing for those big multiple clip magazine guns, but those are human killers. That's the only reason for them. Why is everybody here so afraid? You know, you got the perfect life, you got the first world, you got the food, you got resources, you got everything that everyone else in certain parts of the world wants, but yet everybody's scared.
Because it's
and I think that's the way they've always been, you know, really, to tell you the truth. They, you know, they call everybody else terrorists, but America doesn't call their own self terrorists, you know.
Yeah, from day one, when they came over here and saw the natives, it was like the gun was about getting it. The gun is all about getting something by force. And from then on, it's just been like looking over the shoulder and reloading.
That makes a lot of sense. What's your name again, caller?
My name is Joy, and I'm calling in from New Jersey. All
right.
Okay, cool. Cool. I agree with you, you know, especially with Deborah just said, you know, about America calling everybody else terrorists. Someone's putting a lot of noise into the phone.
Well, I would like to build on what she said too. I mean, we are free citizens. You know, the fact that you're right about guns and why is everyone so scared, but the other thing is, America happens to be one of the, you know, one of the countries where we have the most God-fearing, supposedly, and evangelical, you know, population on the planet, and yet we carry all of these guns. You know what I mean?
We
depend on God to protect us.
I don't understand it. If you got so much faith in God, what are you scared of? God is protecting you.
Exactly. But see, that's why
He's everywhere.
They kill in the name of God.
Yeah.
Okay, look how they say this is the greatest. How you get to be great? Here you come, over from England, or England or Europe or whatever, They were doing them real bad over there, or terrible.
Yeah.
That's why you came. And then you come over here and do harm to people, the same kind of harm that they were doing to you.
Yeah,
and
what got them that way
was the guns. They didn't have guns over here. They didn't have guns in Africa. They had the iron, but they didn't have no guns. And if it wasn't for the guns, they wouldn't be nothing. And that's to me, it's sad when you got to, it's really sad when you got to make up stories about your ancestors. I'm sorry. I mean, come on now. You got to feel sorry
Very
for
true.
These people. You got to feel sorry. These people, oh, we're so great. Hey, you're going to kill the Inyas, what, on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, no, they don't want to talk about
that.
No, you can't talk about that. You got to be quiet about that. And I
know,
if I came here and I would meet Americans that don't even know their history, and I know more about American history than a lot of Americans that I would meet. They had no idea of anything, and I thought it was common knowledge.
No, see, even in school, you know, have y'all ever sat down and looked at what the school books are what they putting in them school? You know, my son didn't believe that, you know, the Statue of Liberty, you know, when it came over here, he didn't believe it was a black statue.
Yeah.
He wouldn't believe me. I had to go search it up, show him. Oh, no, it just was made out of bronze. No. And
yeah.
They don't teach them nothing. I'm serious.
It's true because coming here and meeting people and just thinking that everything was common knowledge, especially where it concerns with, I mean, like the Mayans that we were talking, if you're talking about, you know, end of the world stuff and the Mayans, you know, that's why everybody feeds into conspiracy, because people don't even know what, you know, who the Mayans were, didn't study them, didn't do anything. So you come here and then you start talking to people about their own history, and they have no clue. And I just thought to myself, oh goodness, what are they teaching here? What is going on? You know, I guess I was privileged on my little small island.
You gotta wonder.
So,
you know, you gotta wonder.
Yeah.
We must was really, really great for them to go through. It took time. It took effort. It took our patience to do. They covered up so much. I mean, they intricately covered up so much history. We must have some kind of great. Because you don't go through that. You don't take time for us if we weren't nothing.
Hey.
Right.
So, you know.
I'll say, Mario, can I say something to you? I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just want to say, I don't think that you can just say they completely. I mean, yes, to a certain degree, we're going to talk about, you want to talk about who's in charge, and white, you know, males are in charge. And so they've written their story in a particular way. But they're not the only ones who are guilty of that. That's happened all over the world throughout throughout the history of humanity. So
that's what I'm talking about.
They're the only ones that have ever done that is incorrect. But
it started long time ago. Just think about it. I'm going to ask you a question. Is Kemet in the Bible?
Pardon?
Who?
Where's Kemet?
She's talking about basically ancient Egypt.
It's been there
a couple of times. They don't really talk about it. I was saying ancient Egypt for people who don't know that Kemet is ancient Egypt. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I've been looking, you know. And I haven't found it yet, and it's been bugging me. So I was just wondering. I mean, they don't even go that far back.
As far as American society, you know, you gotta understand. Since humankind has had the ability to kill one another, since it's learned that it can kill one another, you know what I'm saying? It has found reasons to kill one another, mostly being greed, mostly being conquest, and then religion and stuff like that. As bad as America is, it did not learn its culture of violence from out of a vacuum. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
As a matter of fact, America,
never
you know what I'm saying, you know, Europeans immigrated to America. So, you know what I'm saying, then you got, you know, it's not isolated. It's not something that is just, you know, one country did this and then passed it on to this. No, everybody did it. Genghis Khan wiped out 40 million people. You know what I'm saying? Julius Caesar wiped out about 40 million Gauls or something like that. Rome itself, and Rome, you know what I'm saying, there's stuff that happened way before Rome and stuff like that. So it's not something in which, you know what I'm saying, it's only an American problem. It's a human problem.
No, I'm not saying that at all. Oh, no, this is the whole
world.
Okay, so
we just want to make sure that we clarify.
Yeah, the whole world, honey.
You gotta learn from the past, but nobody seems to be learning from the past. Like all the list that you just gave, you know, it's kind of like people don't seem to learn from the past. It just seems to be something it's stuck in the human DNA.
Yeah, I think it's a mental problem.
Mm-hmm.
They just have a name.
So you know, you know, it's you know. We have to accept the fact that chances are, you know, you're gonna live in this world, and it's gonna be a world filled with violence. From one, this guy, you know, and there was a guy who was accused. He hadn't been convicted, but he's accused of burning the Quran. The article I read said he might have been mentally challenged. He was in the police station. A mob broke into the police station, pulled him out, beat him to death, and set him on fire. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about hundreds of people who were okay with beating a mentally handicapped man to death or burning a book.
Right.
And if you have a printer, you can reprint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, you know, violence isn't just an American thing.
Oh, you know
what I'm saying? As much as we think it is, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that is one of the reasons why, you know, I agree with Randall's statement earlier is that 9 times out of 10, if there's going to be a human apocalypse, it's going to be caused by us anyway, one way or the other.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's going to come from within, not without.
Right. And the Europeans were aided in taking over this country by the fact that they brought in diseases that the Native Americans weren't immune to, which, you know, kind of expedited the situation. But, you know, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like you can point out your own problems better than anyone else can. So we talk about American issues and stuff, and we talk about American culture and the culture that we have, that we live in, and stuff like that. And we forget not only where our culture originated, but the fact that we're not the only ones who have these problems. You know what I'm saying? Now, granted, we have the most gun-related deaths. You know what I'm saying? America has the most gun-related deaths. You know what I'm saying?
Period.
And exactly.
Period.
Exactly. Yeah. There's nobody, you know what I'm saying? If there was a trophy for that top spot, we got it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
and you think about this. Look, think about this. When you talk about the Old West, you think mostly about the gunslingers. You know, you think most about Jesse James and Wild Bill, and you think about Billy the Kid and everything like that. A lot of those people were actually heroes, in spite of the fact they killed a bunch of people.
Glorious.
You think about, you know what I'm saying, Bonnie and Clyde, John Dillinger, Babyface Nelson. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about people who robbed banks, and they probably did kill a bunch of guards in the process. They're heroes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so we do have an appreciation of violence that started way before Mortal Kombat. For all you parents out there who came down to Mortal Kombat and made me have to get the lame version where a mug gets sweat knocked out of his face.
Get on Sega where you put in a code and then you get the blood. You rip his head off with the spine connected to it. That's what I did.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Wow. Well, guys, we're getting close to the second hour, and so we should probably get to the Festivus part, you know, the airing of grievances, because I'm kind of interested in hearing what some of everyone's grievances are. And just for those of you that you don't know, that Festivus is a secular holiday. It was conceived by Dan O'Keefe, and it was introduced to popular culture on an episode of Seinfeld. And so one of the traditional practices of Festivus is the airing of grievances. Oh, and by the way, the 23rd of December is the actual official date for Festivus. So today is Festivus. Happy Festivus, everyone. So we can air our grievances during Festivus. Although we're not sitting at a meal, we can still air our grievances on the air. So if anyone has any grievances, we want to hear them. So go ahead.
Yeah.
Grievances about what?
Grievance. I think I air my grievances about the whole gun thing in the country. I don't know.
Oh, that counted.
Okay. That's about it. I mean, apart from anything else, I mean, you know, it's a good society, but it's just a little bit gun crazy and gun mad. That's my only grievances, and to get in all those crazy weapons off the streets, I'm for completely banning them, because they're, you don't even hunt with those things. Those are not a musket. That's just like, you know, you just press on the, you press the trigger and you just wipe out everybody. So unless you're in the army, that get gone. That needs to be gone. Do it like Australia. That's my grievance for today. And other than that, I just want to congratulate you guys on what you're doing. It's wonderful. I love listening to the show. I'm glad I'm a part of it today. And that's it for me. No real grievance. A grievance and a congrats. And a kudos.
Okay. A kudos.
Well, a grievance and a kudos.
My kudos is to the United States for reelecting Barack Obama. Kudos. Because the alternative was disastrous. So glad that mm-hmm. happened. My grievances are really probably much too numerous to name, but I have a big grievance with the NRA and their nonsense that they're, you know, spouting now about the only way to combat bad guys with guns is to have more good guys with guns.
That's the most
simplistic logic that anyone has ever presented in quite some time. But I think that it's also really short-sighted. But I also have a grievance with the Congress over the fiscal cliff, you know, discussions that they're having right now. They need to hurry up and do something. This is really getting ridiculous, and John Boehner probably needs to go sit his ass down somewhere. And for what he tried to do just the other day, trying to get through a bill with no votes, that was really smart. I have a lot of grievances. I'll think of more, but you guys can keep going. I have a mile long grievance list, actually.
No, I still have a grievance. They need to tax, because they supposedly need so much money, tax the damn church.
Tax.
Hey, who's ever
or you know what? Add another
background.
Tax to these damn guns. That's another idea.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, who's ever doing something in the background? You know that you can hear it in the line and whatnot. So, you know, kind of, you know, either mute your phone while you're doing that or something like that. Will, you got a grievance and appreciation or whatever you want to air out?
Oh, jeez. I dislike so many things. electronics, you know. My 2-year-old smartphone is, like, now irrelevant because they've updated the software so much that the hardware just can't handle it. There's not enough RAM. And, I haven't been enough to vote that long, and politics is irritating. It's annoying. You don't know who to follow what. Everybody's lying. Everybody's or they're embellishing, exaggerating. And I find out that one political party, just part of their general dialogue is just to assume I'm on food stamps and insult me. There's so much. What's that guy? Eric Cantor? Like, right now in these in Native American areas, it's legit to just go over there, rape a Native American woman, zip up your shorts, say thanks, ma'am, and walk away. You're not a criminal. They can't prosecute you because you're not Native American. Can't be prosecuted in Native American courts. The party is fighting to keep that out of the Violence Against Women Act. But that little smarmy little bastard Eric Cantor's at the front of that. I can't stand that shit. People with the what is this, war on Christmas? I guess, cause, you know, you kind of keep it current. You know, what the hell are they talking about with a goddamn war on Christmas? this atheist says, I got Christmas light stuff in the house right now. I got my Santa Claus cookie jar out. I got fresh cookies in it. I'm having a Christmassy fucking time. Ah, Jesus Christ, I'm crazy things. Look this guy up. Mitt Romney. Corporations are people, my friend. Get the fuck out of here, these guys. What, whack rappers? Nicki Minaj still exists? Let me know when that's over. I'll turn the television set on again. And then people don't want to. And then you notice that Hurricane Sandy business that just tore the fuck out of shit. And the fact that really was a part of that swung a lot of votes in favor of the left side there on election day. And it's like you had to wait until that ass busting thing came and kicked you in your ass to get your head on straight and go the right direction. Like, you were really going to put Mr. Magic Undershorts in office because you didn't get hit in the face with the hurricane yet. Like, why'd you have to wait that long? My species is so annoying. I don't know. I think I made my niece a little bit cynical. She jokes about the hamster dying. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I hate a lot of stuff. But kudos. Raina with the Reason, Science, and Skepticism show. I mean, it's a smart show. It's out of my league to where I have to listen to an episode twice to kind of get it. I still don't. I'm not the person to ask about evolution, and I listen to that show. I put 4 hours into it. Raina's doing brilliant stuff. Mario's rocking out with the Friday show. And I love Alfred's videos. Throwing kudos out of Alfred. Alfred does dope videos. And he's younger than me and so smart. Like, I'm just this old idiot with my gin. Yeah.
Oh, please.
You know, yeah. All right, now how do we do this again? What are my grievances and...
Yeah, you can throw out the kudos. I just threw out a kudos just to kick it off because I thought I would start on a good note. So... But if you don't want to start off with kudos and you just want to go look for something else.
Well, you know, I major kudos out of Kim because, you know, of the show and putting me and all of us on, you know, because, you know.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I'm more of a wandering leaf blowing in the wind and shit. So, you know, definitely major kudos for that and everything. I guess my grievance is, you know, my grievances with smart-ass commenters, you know, who don't have to, you know, say anything if they don't want to, you know what I'm saying, be it in a group or what have you. But, you know, also, you know, I guess my grievance is, you know, student loans, which, you know, to me, you know what I'm saying, is just, you know, decades of ass rape, you know what I'm saying, to give somebody an education that they're going to use to further your economy anyway, that they're already paying into. So then my friend of mine is getting sued by a credit card collection agency that she doesn't even owe. You know, apparently 6.5 years ago, she had a credit card and it lapsed, and so somebody 7 years later, somebody else bought the debt, and now they're trying to sue her for a debt she never owed them.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of diabolical and whatnot. Grievances about Prometheus not making more sense. A little bit ticked off at the Dark Knight for, you know, leaving too many gaps for that to be the finale of an awesome series. It left a few too many gaps for me.
I don't know
everything.
If it was an awesome series. I have serious grievances with those movies, but the first movie was okay. But I have serious grievances with the others. I apologize.
Hell of a lot better than Val Kilmer and them and everything.
Who's not better than Val Kilmer? So. In the Batman series. I would rather watch the George Clooney Batman, which I hate, than the Val Kilmer Batman.
I don't know. What else am I supposed to say?
Whatever. I mean, if those are the end of your grievances, then you're done, I guess. Is
you know
Tony on the line, or is there anybody else that wants to call in with their grievances?
How much does it cost to get a television station?
I don't know.
Billions of dollars, probably, right?
I mean, you can give them cable access is probably a lot cheaper. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I get so sick of these black stations. I mean, what are they? You know, they really don't have enough content of. On I like a black thinking. You know what I'm saying? And a black point of view. And it's not enough of that on TV.
Well,
you know,
I think a lot of point of views aren't represented on TV. I would like to see a lot more
and
diversity
I think it's just,
on TV.
You know,
myself.
I think it should be. You know,
yeah,
I really get sick of it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that greed. You know that. Oh my bad. What do you mean?
Oh no, you know, it just goes back to, you know, the biases and, you know, sort of the racial discrimination that permeates our culture. You know, those are the reasons why we don't see more diversity in media. I mean, I think you all kind of heard about or most of us, I think, heard about that incident with the news or the weather broadcaster who was responding to a fan on her Facebook concerning his comments about her hair and how she needed to, you know, get a wig or something, you know, was she a cancer patient or whatever, and she responded to him just saying, you know, I'm, you know, African American and this is how my hair grows, you know. So.
Yeah, that was pretty jacked up.
Yeah.
We got another call on the line, by the way.
I didn't finish my grievance.
Not
playing.
Oh, well, you're good.
Go ahead. I'm totally joking.
You sure? Just go ahead and roll with it. 813, we'll get to you in a second.
One of the things that came to mind was the judicial system. When I went to court to fight a ticket, I was bothered by the fact that they still use the term swearing, you know, to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. It was my first time fighting a ticket, so I'd never, you know, encountered that whole statement. I didn't know it was still being used in the system like that, so that was pretty annoying. Considering that in a situation like that, it's not the best time to be voicing your opinion about why that is even incorporated in the
Jello and lead and some coffee.
Mario, I think you need the mute.
I'm just not feeling it.
Someone.
I think I got it. Go ahead.
Those are wonderful.
So are we still for two? I'm
sorry. I just to a podcast now. Okay. Actually, it's my podcast. I got my people filling in for me because I couldn't do it.
I can dig it.
All right, which one is Nakomi? Because I had to mute several lines and whatnot. Nakomi?
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah, okay, got you.
Okay, cool.
Right, go ahead.
That kind of threw me off, my bad. That whole thing, the whole statement of that's commonly used by political officials and God, you know, God bless America, that whole thing just really, really just gets under my skin because it's like, what about the rest of the world, dude? You know what I mean? And which God are we talking
and which
about
God?
Here? Yeah, exactly.
God, like,
you know?
Yeah,
and I always
so
get...
It's so sublime. You know, it makes me so mad because it, God bless America. Then where was God when all these kids got killed? The stuff like that just get on my nerves.
But you know what's interesting as well, too, what I don't understand is, you know, I sympathize with the whole situation that happened at Sandy Hook. You know, get me wrong, but it's like, what about the kids that we kill, you know, using drones and things like that in other countries? It's like we act like America don't kill kids our damn selves.
Exactly.
You know, and it's to me it's no different. I don't care, you know, what war we're fighting or, you know, whatever the situation may be. These kids still have no real involvement in the situation at hand, and I think that's pretty fucked up that we don't acknowledge that, and we seem to have this notion that America somehow is more important than the rest of the world. And I just think that that's pretty wild.
You know what? I'm not going to argue with that point, but I do think there is a difference between walking into a school and shooting kids and a drone strike that wasn't meant to hit a school. You know what I mean? I do think there's a difference there. But I agree with you that we don't take stock and inventory of the loss and tragedy that we inflict on other people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it does hurt just as badly as those families hurt in Connecticut. And we do have to acknowledge that. I agree.
Well, I have to ask specifically why it's different. I think off the top I know why you say that, but I'm curious to know why. Because there's a difference between the intention.
The intentions are different. There's a difference between walking into a school building knowing that you're going to shoot children and going and trying to kill a particular target and killing civilians in the process. Now, the end result is the same, and I'm not saying that the pain that those people feel should be in any way alleviated by the fact that our intentions were different. I'm just saying that in terms of culpability and in terms of intention, it's a different sort of situation, and we do consider intention in terms of the law and in terms of how we treat people in the legal system. So I think that it's relevant from that perspective.
Yes. And see, I get that too. I mean, but it's like we're also the same people that create these laws as well. You know what I mean? So to me, it's not really justifiable.
So you don't think that there's a difference between somebody who, say, accidentally shoots somebody in their zeal on, like, New Year's Eve, shooting a gun in the air, and someone intentionally aims that gun at somebody?
No, I totally see the difference. I totally understand it. My thing is the end result. My thing is, what do we do about saving, you know, the lives of these innocent children or people that get caught up in the mix, too? My thing is that nobody's addressing that. Like, we just kind of have to suck that one up because, you know, we're America and this is how we do things. You know what I mean?
I understand that sentiment. I do. I think that they're different conversations, and their conversations. I think that's a valid conversation to be had, but I think that in a sense you're sort of comparing apples and oranges to a certain degree. You know what I mean?
No, I see that. I guess from my perspective, I'm looking at like, damn, you know, the end result is that ultimately people are dead. You know what I'm saying? Innocent people are dead. And how do we deal with that? How are we going to address that? Does it even matter, you know what I mean, to these political officials that are actually calling the shots to make this happen? That's my question to them more so. I mean, we're living amongst all this chaos in between, but it's like, what about the lawmakers who are just like, okay, well, that's just a part of the whole deal. You know, some people are going to get killed in the midst of a war zone, and it's like that's just kind of fucked up to me. Looking at a wider perspective, just because I'm not in that country, it doesn't mean that they don't experience the same effects that we experience when we lose people that we love and care about within our own country.
I understand that sentiment completely. I mean, we do have a tendency in this country to act as though we're the only ones who ever experienced that kind of violence in that particular way. You know what I mean? And
right.
we make it into this thing where we have to memorialize people. We have to memorialize them year after year after year after year.
But then we never focus
on the damage that we inflict. And it's sort of become a religion in a sense. I mean, look at every year on 9/11. 9/11 was like, you know, over 10 years ago now. You know what I mean? And we're still every year, you know, with Belle. I mean, I'm not saying that those people, we should forget those people, but there are other ways that we can remember those people. There's other ways that we can help them move forward. You know what I mean? And what it's become is a political point that can be used to say, oh, we have to never let this happen again, and so therefore we must go into this country and we must go into that country, when the strategy should be to dismantle these organizations, not occupy other foreign countries. You know what I mean? And to get at the reasons in our foreign policy that drive this sort of violence to be inflicted on us in the first place.
This is a great conversation, yo. I'm enjoying this. Hey, let me let 813 in because they've been holding for quite a bit. So, sorry, 813, you want to talk to us?
No, that's all gravy. I'm enjoying the conversation. Good afternoon. Greetings to everybody. Happy holidays. This is Starship Smelly Prize, host of Wrecking Game Radio, you know, represent Tampa, Florida. And thought I'd jump in on your grievances, you know, and I guess kudos, because I guess that should go kind of hand in hand. And to kind of piggyback off of just her last comment, one thing about America and what we do as tragedies is we are a capitalistic country, so we capitalize off of tragedies. Every time 9/11 comes around, you get the gold coins that come out, get your commemorative gold coins, get your commemorative gold plates, all these commemorative items and memorabilia come out. So this is why they keep these type of tragedies in the limelight, you know, because honestly, they're making money off of them year and year after year. So even with these type of tragedies, they can come up next year and come out with a commemorative plate, say it's going to some kind of fictitious fund, which you never know where these so-called charities that they pop up overnight to you know, shuttle funds in. You never know where they come from, but at the same time, they pop them up, put all these other kind of memorabilia and tell you, you know, you can get all this stuff. But then when you get the plates, you flip the plates over, the back of the plates say they're made in China.
Exactly.
Yeah, I definitely see where you're coming from on a lot of that and everything. 9/11 has been, you know, it's been one of those things for me that is, yeah, it was horrific, you know, because it was similar to Pearl Harbor. It was one of those things nobody expected to happen, and it happened on American soil, and it caused a lot of damage, and it hurt a lot of people. But 3,000 people die every year in this country. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, on one hand, yeah, I feel the pain, but, you know, at the same time, it's like, that's not the only pain that we should feel. Kind of like what Nakomi and Randall were saying, you know what I'm saying? And on one hand, it's nearly impossible to list every tragedy that goes down every day, every week, every month, every year around the world, let alone in your own country and everything like that. But we also have to stop treating that, acting like these people are special because of this tragedy. And, yeah, let's forget about these people here, you know what I'm saying? Not just the black community, you know what I'm saying? Shit doesn't just happen in the black community. People are dying all over the place, you know what I'm saying? Cancer, AIDS, you know what I'm saying? Gun violence, you know what I'm saying? What you name it, there's somebody dying from it or suffering from it, you know what I'm saying?
Mario, and I was going to say this too. I mean, I don't know if any of you watch Melissa Harris Perry, but there are clips of this conversation that she had on YouTube, I'm sure. But she was having a really interesting conversation with Michael Eric Dyson, among others, about the kinetic kid shooting, and they were talking about President Obama's comments on it and what have you. And she was talking about it's a tragedy, period. But the fact of the matter is that our dialogue about some of these things, it does have a racist, you know, sort of twinge to it, because when we say things like they're not supposed to happen here, we imply that it's okay that it happens somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when you say that it's not supposed to happen in Newtown, you imply that it's okay that it happens in Chicago, that somehow, you know, little black boys and Latino boys and poor white children in this community, by some virtue of their position in life, are to expect that. But meanwhile, little Susie and you know, Bobby over here in Newtown are not supposed to expect that kind of violence to be visited on them. So, you know, that's another thing to keep in mind, too, when you're talking about these kinds of things. And it's the same kind of thing that you can talk about when you're talking about Afghanistan and what have you. Khadija and Jamal are not supposed to are supposed to get that sort of thing happening, but not Bobby and Susie.
Right. Exactly.
Right, and then, you know, you do have people. I'm not saying that everybody is out to make money off tragedies and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure some people really feel in their heart that they're doing good, you know what I'm saying? And you can't help but activate your compassion kicks up a notch when something happens closer to you than it does farther, you know what I'm saying? It's almost inevitable, you know, especially when I'm, you know, I admit that I also have, you know, the kind of binocular vision like that in which, you know, I'm perusing on the internet every day. If I'm not thinking about it, you know, I'm not thinking about it. If I see that somebody went to somewhere and massacred a bunch of people down the street from me, that's going to react, that's going to have a resonance with me a little bit more than when I read about tragedy in, say, Syria, you know, something like that. It's not saying that any one of those is more important. The one that is more in my backyard is closer to me. So we kind of have this thing which it's almost automatic. But then on top of that, you got people who politicize it and capitalize on the situation, laughing like, you know, using it to further their political agendas and, you know, saying war agendas and stuff like that. And then you got the other. Why do you need a commemorative coin for 9/11? I don't get that. Caller, you're still on the line while you're having a conversation, man. You still there, man?
Okay. Maybe is there anyone else waiting to come on the line, Mario?
I'm a little late on. I ain't doing shit right now.
I'm out to mute you, man.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't even think it, the effect that the killings of these little kids wouldn't have been as big as it is if it was a bunch of black kids. I think that's how bad it is. You know,
it depends. I think it has more depend on where than who. You know what I'm saying? If it's, you know. Sandy Brook to me sounds like
you have to remember
a really.
That you also have to remember that location is part of identity too. So
yeah.
When you talk about location,
that does have
a racial, economic, you know, sort of component to it as well. So, you know,
right.
Racial,
that's a good point.
Racial.
Right, because you know, and I, you know, first I believe any minority really is not going to really be that, you know. A guy nuts up on a Native American reservation or a predominantly Latin school or predominantly black school in inner city, it's going to get on the news, but it's not going to be as tragic as Columbine or Sandy Hook because of where those schools were. In my personal opinion,
they're not necessarily going to read the obituaries of every person involved. They're not going to bother to get involved in trying to figure out what their lives were like and all of those sort of things. And I'm not saying
Katrina
that they're not of interest to people or they shouldn't be of interest to people. It's just the reality of the situation is they would not have spent as much time on it as they did on Sandy Hook.
Right, and then you got the, you know, and then I look at Katrina. Katrina killed about 3,000 people, didn't it? 2,000-3,000 people? You know what I'm saying?
Something
yet
like
9/11 happened, and they did this entire thing at the Super Bowl with all kinds of speech, U2, and they even had this gigantic projector that projected the names of every victim onto the entire crowd at the Super Bowl stadium. You know, no one says anything about Katrina. You know what I'm saying? I mean, nothing at all.
Well, that was an act of God.
God,
right.
Darn it, Raina took my idea. That's what
I
wanted to
say.
It was
an act of God, and not only was it an act of God, but according to some people, that was the judgment of God. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they had, what, like something gay, something, I don't know, transgendered population there or something like that. But then also, like, not only was the New York one, like, the location or what have you, but it was those evil people from a different religion and a different God that did it. So they're already bad, and they did something bad to us. It makes it a little bit more relevant.
You know, you know, this has been a great conversation, even though we kind of derailed it quite a few times and whatnot. I've had a great conversation so far, man. Before we get back off track, does anybody else need to know what Festivus is? Y'all straight on that?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all good? You know,
a poll, and it's another silly thing.
Right.
I love how
Alfred thinks everything is silly, but just about everything.
But, you know, so does anyone else have any other grievances they want to air?
Legalize marijuana everywhere.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. And recreational, not medical. I'm trying to play my Aerosmith records. You know, I'm not curing anything here.
I can't even get medical. Like I said, I had an operation. Virginia was one of the first states to legalize medical marijuana in 1979 for glaucoma and cancer, I believe. And now they have made it for pain. You ask a doctor about medical marijuana around here, they think you're talking Chinese or something. Seriously. They need to do something about that because the medicine, people don't realize the medicine, the prescription drugs are killing people big time. That's why they don't have the ingredients on the side of the bottle. You don't even know what you're taking.
And you know what? There are a lot of people who have been harmed by prescription drugs, but there are a lot of people who have been harmed by illegal drugs as well. And I'm not saying specifically marijuana. I don't have anything against legalizing pot, but I am not a proponent of marijuana for anything really. But I'm not against its legalization. Like I would never stand.
But it's never.
That's because you have to hit the joint, Raina.
I have to just be honest with you. I have tried pot. I was like 16 at the time. I didn't like it then, and I'm just not a fan of anything. I'm just not a fan of anything that makes me feel like I'm not in control or where I don't feel like I have my full faculties. And it didn't make me feel good when I smoked.
That was probably
I'm just not a,
and not sativa.
I hear that sometimes, though. I have a few friends that have tried it and really just didn't like it, and I'm like,
I didn't like it. I don't like.
Who was your dealer, bro?
I don't like feeling like I don't know what's going on. I don't even drink to the state of drunkenness. So I mean, I like a little wine. I like to have a little beer, but I don't drink to the point where I don't know what's going on or I'm on tables lifting up my shirt. Like that's never gonna happen. So, I don't get super tipsy, but I get nice. Like everything, I feel good. I'm enjoying the atmosphere, but I can, in an hour or so, I'll be able to drive. You know what I mean?
So maybe perhaps you smoked a little too much. Now maybe if you took two puffs.
I actually really only had one puff, to be honest with you, and then I was in a room with other people who were smoking. So maybe I had more exposure than I thought, to be fair. But honestly, I'm not really even interested in doing drugs. I've been offered all kinds of drugs, and I'm not interested. So other than alcohol, I'm good. So.
But when you have to take pain medicine. You'll probably change your mind then.
I probably will.
You
want to
know.
Depending upon what my condition is, it may or may not be helped by marijuana. So,
I'm just saying that medication will make you, some of it will make you see things. It will, in other words, it will mess up your mind. It really will mess up your mind. Okay.
Again, I'll have to evaluate that situation when I come to it.
I did have an aunt who did have
cancer, and she passed away recently, and she was on things, but she had to be on drugs because she was in an advanced state of pain, and morphine and other drugs were the only thing that really took the pain away. Now, at the same time, a lot of those drugs do make you somewhat loopy, but that doesn't necessarily mean that marijuana is going to be the answer in every case. So you really have to just balance it according to your situation.
Well, I think it should be a choice only because marijuana, as of today, just plain marijuana, I'm not talking about something that's been put into it, has never killed.
All right, we got it. Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah. Okay. I've never smoked marijuana. I've never smoked cigarettes, and I don't really like alcohol particularly because I can't stand the taste of it. But I am a Class A CDL driver, so even if it were legal, I doubt that I could ingest something that would affect my my abilities like that, and it'd be okay.
And I would
hope you
wouldn't, because I have to drive
right
there.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? You know, I agree with legalization only because, you know what I'm saying, mainly because, you know, you got cigarettes and alcohol legal, why not, you know? But, you know, I don't really.
Legalization from the standpoint that I don't believe that we need to be locking up nonviolent drug offenders. That is the main reason why I am for pot legalization. To a limited extent to other drugs as well, but only from the perspective that I don't think we need to be locking up people who have committed no violent acts, have not stolen anything or hurt anyone, but just were using it for recreational purposes in their own homes. I don't have any problem with those people. I really don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a corporate douchebag, so I could have blow and whiskey in the office if I'm still hitting the numbers every Sunday.
That's interesting. Yeah, I agree with what you said, Raina. I think the whole issue with this drug thing and people getting arrested with these cases and having their lives kind of screwed to a certain extent with that being on their record is another issue in itself. So, I don't know. I just think there's so many other things that, you know, are considered bad for you that are legal. It's hard for me to even fathom that we haven't moved past this issue yet.
Yeah, well, there's so much money made from prescription drugs.
There's money made on a lot of things. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, we're not helping anything by keeping this, you know, illegal. And ruining people's lives and contributing to a larger prison industrial complex. And, you know, people, you know, they can't get jobs, they can't go to school, they can't get student loans, you know what I mean? Because they've been arrested for possession, you know what I mean? So it is what it is.
Yeah.
And for the fact
that
they make up.
Are you guys doing anything with your families for Christmas and stuff? Or any plans?
Yeah, I already kind of told what my family, what my father's family's tradition is. Staying, the adults stay up until midnight. We drink, we eat, and we are merry until midnight, and then we open up gifts, and then we are woken up some of us in a drunken state, the rest of us in a just an angry state that we've been woken up at 8 o'clock in the morning to allow children to to open up their presents, and then we eat waffles. So.
Do you guys open up the gifts kind of early? Do you let them open at least one gift before?
No, they do it all on Christmas Day.
Oh, wow.
I sent my nephews a Wii. I ordered it off Amazon, and they wanted to open it because they love my grandmother, who's Jehovah's Witness. So that saves me a little bit of money on her. But, you know, anyway. And so I don't do much because, you know, I've always kind of been, you know, I've kind of was raising that. And then after the fact, I was like, well, you know, it's not really all that big a deal. But I do get me a good sleep in and I chill. You know, if I'm dating someone who's into it, I do something with her and everything like that. But mainly, my grandfather's birthday is on the 25th. So, that's the only dude whose birthday I know is on the 25th. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. My goddaughter's birthday is on the 25th.
Well, for me, I hail from the all foster care system, so there's no tradition. I'm just making it up as I go along, you know. And so this Christmas, I picked up a copy of A League of Their Own. I like to show my niece these old 90s movies, so I'm gonna show that. I got some ingredients. I'm going to make a strawberry cheesecake and a blackberry cheesecake that I'll be And I'll talk about this. Yeah, and I'll talk about the specific recipes that I use so you guys can copy them on another podcast. And yeah, so we'll watch the film.
Is there some wine in those blackberry or strawberry mixtures that you're using? You have the wine. Okay.
My niece is going to be having those, but I put brandy in my coffee.
Oh, okay, okay,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, Father Teresa's wine cellar, not Father Teresa's juice bar. I gotta have my adult beverage. But we just do that. And this time, I'm gonna get some school supplies because I typically just get stuff for the house. Nobody gets a gift. I get maybe some new kitchen stuff. It's new dishes, things like that. Get a new broom, something everybody can use in the house.
A new broom.
mm-hmm.
This is a state-of-the-art room for when you do your chores, baby. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah, there's no tradition. No, yeah, we just go at it. Then next year I'll make up something completely new and retarded that I'll do.
Okay. That sounds good.
Speaking of Christmas, I just now found out what the hell this Elf on the Shelf shit is about. I never knew what that was about. I just found out what the hell Elf on the Shelf was. I never knew what the hell that was. I had no idea. That's funny. And we had a caller, but they dropped. So
Mario, you might have to send that one to me. I want to check it out myself.
The Elf on the Shelf.
I'm sitting here and I saw several postings about it, and I always wondered what it was. I just asked somebody on Facebook.
I never even heard of it before.
Oh, I know what I want to do on Christmas Day, though, guys. I'm gonna go see Les Miserables on Christmas Day. That's what I want to do. You want to go see what again, right now?
Django.
Les Miserables. That might not be a bad idea.
I've never really been big into musicals, but if I had a date in one kid, I'd go see it.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go see Django though.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see what that's all about.
But I don't know if I want to see it in the theater. I might wait until that comes out on DVD.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to see it. Yeah. I can't wait.
Because I need to be able to pause it so that I can be angry for a second.
seen a new film. I haven't seen anything new in a long time, already. But I'm not going to front, like the shooting, they kind of got me shook. Where the guy, the Aurora shooting, and then somebody was attempted one after that somewhere else in the country. I'm not going to front. They got me kind of shook. Even if there was something interesting where I was like, hey, I'm going to go in the theater and check that out. And I don't know. I'd probably hesitate or maybe not go. I'm not going to front. They got me shook.
What about the mall?
The shopping mall?
I haven't.
That's another place that I haven't been in so long. But, yeah, if I had to go in a shopping mall, oh, man, JCPenney's selling men's shirts for $5. They do that sometimes. I don't know. I'd probably park on the side where JCPenney's is and go straight in JCPenney and get, through the JCPenney entrance exit. People are bugging out.
You go everywhere wearing full tactical armor.
Oh, what's
that? Nah. You know what? You can probably catch them sales on the internet, or better sometimes. That's why the internet is the way to go for me if I'm going to do Christmas shopping for anybody.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
doing
what
all
I do.
Of it on the internet.
Okay,
crazy.
We got a call. Yeah, you're right about that. We got a call from 832, and while I'm mentioning it, we're entering the last 15 minutes of the show, so if you have something you want to say, call in 310-982-4273 and press 1. And we'll buzz you in. 832, you're live. Talk to me.
This is Cuff Your Feelings online from Houston, Texas.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I was going to talk about the Django movie, because I heard a lot of different people that had a lot of different views about it, and I kind of want to see what everybody else thought about Django itself.
Well, I haven't seen it, so I'm going to reserve my comments.
No, I haven't either.
I saw the preview, and it just seems very interesting to me, you know. And I normally don't get that interested in a lot of movies.
Well, it has Christoph
Waltz. I was trying not to allow anybody to make me biased towards it, because there's people that have issues with the way it is, I guess.
I think it's really hard to do any movie that has slavery as a theme in it and not have people kind of have, you know, automatic reactions to it. You know, a lot of white people are going to be automatically defensive, and a lot of black people are going to be automatically, you know, incensed. You know what I mean? It's just, it's one of those subjects that, you know, you're going to get those reactions to, you know, whatever the movie's about, whatever way it's written.
Yeah, the conversation that I hear the most, that's the biggest, like, from everywhere I see on all of my social networking sites is, oh, well, how can you expect it to be, I guess, factual or the way that it needs to be coming from a white guy or something like that? And I'm like, do we need to judge it like this?
It's a fictional movie anyway. It just takes,
exactly.
It just takes a historic part of history to use it with. And really, in some sense, from what I understand, people are saying that there are a lot of things that you can get in this movie that are relevant to this, to today, but it's just using that time period to bring those things, you know, up. And it's kind of like revisionist history in a sense, like, because you have this slave who's being, you know, you don't have a whole lot of movies like that where, like, slaves are rising up and portrayed as, you know, the protagonist, you know, and killing white people in the process. Like, a lot of these movies concerning slavery focus on white people as the protagonist. And of course, there were some white people who were instrumental in helping slavery end and helping slaves get out of their condition. You know what I mean? So, you know, that's true. But there were also rebellions that no one ever usually uses in cinema at all.
I feel like it's supposed to be
satire. It's supposed to have a certain level of humor to it because it is so ridiculous.
Of course.
You know what I mean? The premise. And then, you know, it's supposed to be entertaining. So, like, there's a whole lot of things in it, and, you know, I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to go ahead and judge and say that Quentin Tarantino did a horrible job or he's racist or he's this or he's that. You know, you just have to kind of look at it for what it is. And it's Tarantino, come on, for crying out loud. If you've ever seen
exactly.
a whole movie, you already know that there's a certain amount of absurdity in every single one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Look at the Bastards movie. You know what I mean? That movie was ridiculous, but it was entertaining in some sense. You know?
Yeah.
So,
Jamie Foxx and Kerry Washington are great actors. Period.
Yeah.
So that's part of why I'm going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, I'm going for Christoph Waltz. I really like that guy. Hans Zander from Bastards. I really like that guy. So,
mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking it's going to be pretty interesting. But, you know, one thing, you know, and I've seen the same, you know, since we're winding up the last 10 minutes, I guess we can talk about pretty much anything now. One of the things that really bothers me is when people expect a Hollywood movie to click off every that blame check, fact check list or whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't get that. I don't get why you would expect a Hollywood movie to go down a checklist of historical accuracy within 2 hours to make you, I mean, it's not supposed to do that. You're investing millions of dollars. Right. You're investing millions of dollars in something that you want to get a return on. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. So, you know, I mean, I don't get that and whatever. So.
I do have a grievance. Like, if one more person brings up to me CeeLo Green's Christmas album, I think I'm going to choke them. Like, I'm getting so tired of it. Like, it's so...
And I like CeeLo.
I haven't heard it except for that commercial.
Yeah, well, I don't know. My father kept talking about this Mary, Did You Know song, and it's supposed to be so deep. And so, like, first off, it's a bullshit story. So, like, I can't really get into it from that perspective to begin with, you know. But, like, get out of here. Actually, I don't even really think that CeeLo Green is that great of a singer. I mean, there are things in his voice, like, there are things that he does okay. You know what I mean? But is he up there on my list of singers? Is he in the upper echelons with people like, you know, Luther Vandross? And no, not even close.
I like his last two songs. One was Crazy. I was crazy about that song. And the one that, what's the name of that song with F-U-U?
Yeah.
I like those two songs. Oh, wow.
That was pretty cool.
And he did a horrible job with John Lennon's Imagine. Horrible.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what jumped in his mind with that one, but, you know.
I don't know.
I even met somebody.
It's horrible.
I even met somebody who told me that they're not any particular religion. They have something to do with all of them. They either listen to all of them, or they see the value in all of them and everything like that. And I'm like, well, you kind of should kill yourself then, shouldn't you? And she was like, why you say that? I'm like, because most of the religions you're talking about conflict each other and they actually have wars because of that. So you should literally be tearing yourself apart right now. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, she didn't like that. So, you know, we're no longer healthy friends.
Mm-hmm. Aww.
Yeah, I shed a tear of that.
Aww.
You know.
Sad face.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, with it, you know, this might be the last show of the year. I'm not certain.
I think so. I think she said this was the last one. Well, anyway, you guys can look out on the Black Freethinkers page for more information.
Yeah.
And I will be bringing back my show in the new year. Sorry for those of you who missed me or thought that you were missing my shows. I've been dealing with some family issues. And, you know, I said earlier that my aunt passed away. And it was really hard on me and my family. And so I had to deal with that. And so I will be bringing the show back in the new year. So... and I know that Alfred and William are gonna have a show.
On the barbershop. Yeah, we're gonna be breaking things down into timed segments. It'll be trending topics. You know what goes viral? What just pops in the news so hard that you have to talk about it? I mean, how many minutes of this show went to guns when it was about Mayans and that silver pole with those grievances, you know? But, yeah, we're hitting the trending topics. And also I want to throw in a little political commentary. And, of course, football talk, NFL and the LFL, even though I really think they need to give those women some real uniforms.
So we'll have a lot of stuff coming up for you guys in the next year, lots of exciting things going on. And, you know, we thank you guys for showing us love and, you know, tell your friends and, you know, let us know what you want to hear and you know. Don't forget to show us, to verbalize your support for us occasionally, because it helps. It really does, because sometimes it's really, really hard to figure out what we're going to talk about or what we're going to say or if anyone's even listening. So if you see particularly, you know, Kim and Mario and William, people like that, encourage us if you so choose. You know, we have to show love for each other and, you know, support each other. So do that.
If you can tell us that we're having stupid conversations on a show that you can voluntarily listen to or not, then you can also give us some positive feedback and everything like that. Let us know, you know, what we're doing right. As a matter of fact, you know, anybody who is Facebook friends with me or any one of us, if you have an idea for a show, I would love to hear it, you know, because sometimes we don't always know what the hell we're going to talk about until like a few days before we actually schedule the darn show. So,
because we all have jobs.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? You know, just, you know, hit us up, you know, I mean, we're enjoying it. I enjoy doing the show. I enjoy listening to Kim's show. I enjoy all the other shows Rena and Will and Alfred are doing and everything like that. I enjoy all the conversations and the commenters, you know what I'm saying, from Nicole to Judy to everybody. You know, this has been a phenomenal event, you know, and a phenomenal year, you know what I'm saying, for this, because how many black non-believer, free thinker, atheist shows do you listen to or know about or anything like that?
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So, you know what I'm saying?
And doing it like us. And not just like black, but doing it like us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody does it like we do it.
Right.
And well, I'm glad you mentioned that your show hasn't been on, Raina, because I've been a little lost. Like, where the hell is the show's information? where is Raina? I am looking for her.
I know. It's been rough. You know, it's been rough the last couple of months dealing with everything. My aunt had, for those of you know, I mean, it's not a secret or anything, my aunt had lung cancer and liver cancer. She struggled for the last year. And she basically went very quickly within a month from the last time I saw her. And we just buried her a couple weeks ago. In fact, she just got a headstone yesterday. And there's been a lot of things. She was one of the central parts to my family. And she was probably one of the most loving and selfless and wonderful people that she could have ever possibly known. And I miss her dearly, and it was hard because she had a big hand in helping to raise me to be who I am. So, you know, it was rough. So yeah, I'm bringing the show back and in the new year, and I apologize to those of you who are looking for me. So.
No, it's okay. That's totally understandable, and I'm so sorry for your loss. You can sympathize with that. And I just want to say I am so glad that I've met all of you guys. I'm usually kind of reluctant when it comes to meeting new people, even online sometimes, because there's some weirdos out there. But, you know, from Mario, Serena, Alfred, and everybody else, Kim, you know, you guys, I've never met none of you guys in person, but I feel like, you know, through the social media that we do have available, it's just been a phenomenal year. Just connecting with you guys and being able to reach out and let some of the steam off a little bit with some of these situations and subject matter. So I just wanted to say thank you to all of you guys for, you know, being a positive figure in my life to even be able to connect with something I didn't really think existed as far as black non-believers go. So.
Yeah.
And you know who we all have to thank for all of this is Kim, who...
Yes.
You know, I'm so glad she came into my life, and she's a wonderful person, and she put all of this together, and without her, none of this would be possible. Not possible in the way that we're doing it. She is the thing that brings it all together. She organizes us, and she motivates us, and she, you know, she helps us out. And so, we're all thinking of Kim. We love you, Kim, if you're listening, and we want you to get better,
do.
Kim.
Yes,
yeah, Kim did my first video. When I joined the local group in L.A., Kim was the first person to interview a few members from the group. So that was interesting looking back, you know, then and looking at where we're at now. So,
and you know
Kim,
what? You can look forward to
we'll
her coming back, because when she comes back next year, she's going to have a whole slew of interesting and exciting things to tell you guys over the course of next year. I've gotten previews, and I'm not at liberty to say what those things are, but I'm here to tell you that it's going to be an exciting 2013.
Oh,
hey.
And with that,
I can't. I cannot. I have sworn to secrecy.
We're going to go ahead and wrap it on up, because we're down to the last 50 seconds of the show.
Merry Christmas,
once again,
everybody.
Thank everybody
Happy
for
New
calling
Year.
In.
Heathen's greeting.
Thank you for all the commenters. Thank you for everybody. Thank you for Kim. We're wishing the best for you and hoping to see you better, see you next year and whatnot. Y'all all, no matter what you celebrate, Festivus, Christmas, Kwanzaa, whatever, have a safe one and enjoy your new year. And with
that's
that,
right.
We're out.
Have a good one, y'all. Enjoy your day.
Bye,
though.
Y'all.
Okay.
I like this song. I'm going to stay on for the song.
Are we still on? Is this not live?
Yeah.
Ah, this is the after hours, the party, the after hours party. Flag free thinkers, radio, radio, one, two, flag free thinkers.